Bueno.
Bueno.
Cool. All right. So, like I said, welcome back to Dreaming of Nightmares. It's been, I think, over a year since we've made any material, but it's a new me, a new Logan, and I'm here with my incredible new co-host, Josie. She's a little
Hey.
sassy spitfire, but yeah, so we're gonna get this podcast up and going again, and we're gonna get it rolling. Today is actually Friday the 13th of 2023. What significance does that have for you, Joe?
Really? Well, I'm excited because I'm getting married on Friday the 13th in 9 months. So, intentionally getting married on Friday the 13th. So, I'm really excited.
You should
But yeah,
be.
I don't know. It's just fun and spooky and superstitious for people.
Didn't see any black cats or break any mirrors or walk under any ladders today.
I have not walked under a ladder today. I did yesterday.
Well,
All the time at work.
I mean, you're a whole 4 foot even, so
Thanks. Making me sound like a midget over here.
no, you're what are how tall are you actually?
5 foot 1, according to my doctor.
Oh, okay, so I was off by a foot.
That was with shoes, but
Okay, so that's fair, I guess. Yeah, guys, so like I said, it's a new me. I'm no longer an Amazon driver. I think that's the last that you guys knew about me, but I now work at the Buckle. Don't know if you guys have ever heard of that retailer or not. I actually played some Overwatch last night with some online friends, and they asked me what I do because we were kind of like a newer friend group, and they're like, "Yeah, Logan, so what do you do?" Or and I'm just like, "Well, have you ever heard of this?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "Okay, well."
okay.
So it kind of took a lot of the spark out of my enthusiasm for what I do a little bit. But Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I also work at the Buckle with you.
Yeah, you do.
So that is how we met and just super fun right off the bat. But I am also a licensed esthetician, which is really cool. So I do like makeup on the side and special effects, which is really fun. It's kind of how I got into all the spookiness and, supernatural shit. And then I have my two kitties. I love my kitties. They're absolute gremlins, though. Oh my God.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I don't care. You can go first if you
Okay, so today, with it being
want.
Friday the 13th, we decided that we're gonna jumpstart this with doing a little bit of cryptid stories and a little bit of information on some on one or a few of them. And I decided that with it being the 13th, I wanted to do a little deep diving into the number 13 and some of its symbolism. So everything that I basically came in contact with, or anything that I really looked up, all of it was saying that the number 13 is just a bad number in general. Like, for a few reasons, this is gonna be I'm gonna cite a source. It's in wikipedia.org, number 13. And so, from a few of the religious aspects, okay, here we go. So, the Last Supper, and from Christianity, at Jesus Christ's Last Supper, there were 13 people around the table, counting Christ and the 12 apostles. Some believe this is unlucky because one of those 13, Judas, was the betrayer of Jesus Christ. That's why it was unlucky, because he ended up betraying and going and ratting out Christ, which caused him to ultimately end up being crucified.
I love your use of ratting out.
Yeah, right.
A snitch.
yeah. Another one is actually the group that protected Christ, the Knights Templar. Most of them, on Friday, 13th October, 1307, King Philip, the Fourth of France ordered the arrest of the Knights Templar, and most of the knights were then tortured and killed. So that's, again, Friday the 13th. Another thing.
Irony.
Yeah, right?
I'm getting married on October 13th.
Says a lot about you and what you think of the dogma of the world.
Well, coincidence, I think not.
I mean, religious trauma, I'm here for it.
A little bit.
A year with 13 moons instead of 12 posed problems for the monks in charge of the calendars, who basically created the calendars. This was considered a very unfortunate circumstance, especially by the monks who had charge of the calendar of 13 months for the year. And it upset the regular arrangement of church festivals. So it was just a mild inconvenience of them wanting to have a good time at church.
So basically all of it's just Christianity said, we don't like this. It's evil.
Well, so this isn't really like a bad thing, I guess, but in Judaism, 13 signifies the age of at which a boy matures and becomes bar mitzvah, full member of the Jewish faith. So 13 is actually pretty good for the men in Judaism. So,
which is interesting considering Jesus was Jewish.
Correct.
Like,
this is pretty ironic. Again, the number 13 is considered an unlucky number in some countries. The end of the Mayan calendar's 13 Baktun was superstitiously feared as a harbinger of the apocalyptic 2012 phenomenon. And so, did you really quick? Did you know that there's a phobia of the number 13?
Yes, I did.
So it's actually,
I did.
It's actually called triskaidekaphobia. The superstitious sufferers of triskaidekaphobia try to avoid bad luck by keeping away from anything numbered or labeled 13. As a result, companies and manufacturers use another way of numbering or labeling to avoid the number, with hotels and tall buildings being conspicuous examples. Because I've seen this. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but in all the buildings that I've been in New York City, none of them have a 13th floor or hotels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
And so, like in hotels too, I've seen hotels that they only have even room numbers so that they don't have a 13.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking, and it's just got my mind on another cryptid, which is Santa Claus, Saint Nick.
Please tell me how this relates. I am very curious.
Okay, so the thing is that obviously the fear of 13 has some backing to it for like negative happenstances on those 13th days of the month. But I think that we're giving the number 13 a lot more power than it actually has, if that makes any sense. Like, I think that, like, if Santa Claus were real, right? He would. Oh God, did I just, oh God.
Just ruined everything. How dare you?
I'm so sorry. So, like, I just feel like if Santa were real, again, I'm sorry. Like, think about it this way. Every year, we, or kids, I should say, right? And we tell our children to, you know, behave or Santa's not going to bring you gifts, right? And then we've created stories and songs about Santa, like all of these things in any type of like fictional setting would be deemed to go to a god, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that like it's kind of like praise or like going to church in Christianity would, and like singing the gospel and reading the Bible and all that stuff and praying is like sending all that energy, and it's sending it to this entity or this thing or an idea of something. And I just think that we're giving a lot of power to something that doesn't need it or that isn't real, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So
that's like there's a Supernatural episode specifically about it where like it doesn't exist, but then when people start feeding into it, it starts existing and getting more powerful.
Yes.
And it's literally, and I'm pretty sure like one of the ones is like Santa Claus, and I'm like,
Hey, I brought it to the table today. Okay, so that's my take on number 13. So the reason why I ultimately decided to go with this cryptid was because somehow it was fate. It really was. It was so good. Okay, so I decided to do this week's episode on the Jersey Devil. So I'm just gonna give a quick little synopsis on the Jersey Devil from Wikipedia, and then there's a little bit of an origin of the legend, and that's where I ultimately decided that okay, I'm doing this shit. Okay, so in South Jersey and Philadelphia folklore in the United States, the Jersey Devil is a legendary creature said to inhabit the forest of Pine Barrens in South Jersey. The creature is often described as a flying biped with hooves, but there are many variations. A common description is that of a bipedal kangaroo-like or wyvern-like creature with a horse or goat-like head, leathery bat-like wings, horns, small arms with clawed hands, legs with hooven or cloven hooves, and a forked tail. So that sounds pretty fucking terrifying.
Okay, but like, why are so many like cryptids and evil entities related with goat heads?
That I don't know. I've always been curious about that too. I mean, like I have like really detached myself even from like Christianity and what some depictions of Satan or Lucifer are like, because he's sometimes depicted as a goat-headed biped muscular winged creature, and like I don't know, but even to this day, even though like I've disassociated myself with that, if I see a goat and I look into its eyes, I just get these weird creepy feelings.
Okay, so I just looked up, like I just did a quick Google, and it said that Baphomet, the like Satan that has like the goat head, was a deity allegedly worshipped by the Knights of Templar.
Oh, it just comes full fucking circle.
Coincidence, I think not. The name appeared in the trial transcripts from the Inquisition of the Knights of Templar starting in 1307. It first became popular usage in like the 19th century debate and speculation of them. He's a symbol of balance in various occult and mystical traditions.
I think the Christian historians need to go back in time and really look at what their savior was trying to do or practice.
Well, there's been so many translations of it that so many things have gotten translated incorrectly, and then it keeps getting its snowball effects. So if they go back like to the original, I've seen so many things where people are like, it doesn't mean this, it means like this, and it's been skewed so many times and now people use it wrong. So that's, yeah.
Well, we could go off on a fucking tangent about that fucking shit.
We could do a whole
'cause
yep. Yeah, we could.
What? So isn't there a docuseries or a documentary on the publication of like which chapters and verses were actually picked and chosen to go into the,
yeah,
like the new King James
Whose
version
stories and stuff? Because like I briefly like researched and saw this one time, like where it was like the like Jewish Quran is the Bible, except it's the full thing basically. So it has a bunch of stories that are like, they just were like, no, it's a women's story, we're not adding it.
To take away
And
power from
it's
women.
insane.
Yeah. And they were all just trying. Sorry, this isn't a Christian bash or anything like that. So if you're Christian, I apologize. But it was really those white men writing these, or not writing, but picking and choosing all of these different stories that would have ultimately given them more power to indoctrinate people and children to think a particular way so that they would never lose power.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was a nice little tangent. Back to the Jersey Devil. Okay, so the reason why this was such a fucking fitting cryptid for today's episode being Friday the 13th is, and then this is the title of this short little paragraph. Mother leads 13th child.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
I saw that and I was like, okay, bet. Like, that's perfect. So, okay, according to popular folklore, the Jersey Devil originated with a Pine Barrens resident named Jane Leeds, known as Mother Leeds. The legend states that Mother Leeds had 12 children, and after finding she was pregnant for the 13th time, cursed the child in frustration, crying that the child would be the devil. In 1735, Mother Leeds was in labor on a stormy night while her friends gathered around her. Born as a normal child, the 13th child changed to a creature with hooves, a goat's head, bat wings, and a forked tail. Growling and screaming, the child beat everyone with its tail before flying up to the chimney and heading into the pines. In some versions of the tale, Mother Leeds was supposedly a witch, and the child's father was the devil himself. Some versions of the legend also state that there was a subsequent attempt by a logical clergyman to exorcise the creature from the Pine Barrens.
Okay. Random side note. I would also be damned and be pissed if I had to have 13 children. Damn, I would be pissed too. But then if it was Satan's kid, I mean, at that point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is all, if I keep just going at it, I'm not going to get pregnant. Bullshit.
That's not how it works.
Especially not in fucking, what time period? 1735? From my knowledge, I don't think there were many ways to prevent pregnancy.
Not prevent, but I know, like, with recent things that have occurred in the government in the United States, there's been a lot of things where it's like, if you think you're pregnant, totally don't do these things.
Wink,
and
wink.
Then it's like don't drink this tea or don't like do this. So like they had ways of like, if they thought it, they would stop it. But at that point too, like, you know, but sometimes it just don't work. And the kid is coming out no matter what you got.
Well, I mean, I want to have some sympathy for her, but at the same time, I don't. Because, I mean, you think that she would have learned from the past 12 times?
I mean, but also, Satan, low-key, can't blame her.
No.
Okay, but was it just the 13th kid's dad, or was it all of them?
See, that's not what, it doesn't specify, because after
was
she was finding
hoe?
She
was... Because then there's no sympathy.
Okay, let me reread some of this. The legend states that Mother Leeds had 12 children, and after finding she was pregnant from the 13th time, cursed the child in frustration. I would have been cursing the fucking father. Crying that the child, like, pull out, bitch.
Jesus.
Let me see. I don't see anything different. I don't, yeah. It's not clarifying for me, but this little bit might actually clarify some for us. So prior to the early 1900s, the Jersey Devil was referred to as the Leeds Devil or the Devil of Leeds, either in connection with the local Leeds family or the southern New Jersey town, Leeds Point. Mother Leeds has been identified by someone as Deborah Leeds. Yo, we go and look her up.
Her husband, I'm on the same page. I'm literally reading the same. Oh, as you're reading, I'm like reading.
Japhet Leeds. Japhet. That's his name.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. This actually is clarifying a little bit. On the grounds of Deborah Leeds' husband, Japhet Leeds named 12 children in the will he wrote during 1736. So he named 12 of them. Wait, what if this bitch just want to get fucking famous and quote unquote had a 13th child?
Also, how did this bitch die after 13 kids? Like, So many people used to die of childbirth back then, and this she made it through 13. She had a pact with the devil, and that's why. He said, "You're not dying, you have to have my kid."
Well, hey, guess what? If this is all true, if she wanted to be famous, we're talking about her 250 years after she's passed. I would say that if she wanted to be famous and she wanted to make a pact with the devil, that would have done it. And maybe Lucifer or Satan, whomever you want to call him.
Okay, I just want a thing where it's like partially part of this is that where is it? Daniel Leeds was a political rival for Benjamin Franklin.
I was just reading that.
And then they like the Leeds devil, like actual creature, blah blah blah. Interesting. His third wife? Damn. They're all hoes.
So that was a little bit how it came to be. This mother Leeds ended up getting pregnant with the 13th child. Let's get the Spark Notes version. And when she found out that she was pregnant with this 13th child, she ended up cursing the child and declared that the child was going to be Satan, or was going to be the devil. And then the folklore came when the child was born and supposedly attacked everyone who was there during childbirth, and then fled the scene, as they should have. Because I wouldn't want to be a part of that family. That's like way too many siblings. Cheaper by the dozen, my ass. Okay, so here's a few of the reported sightings. There have been many claims of sightings and occurrences involving the Jersey Devil. According to legend, while visiting the Hanover Mill Works to inspect his cannonballs, Commodore Stephen Decatur sighted a flying creature and fired a cannonball directly upon it to no effect. Joseph Bonaparte, elder brother to Napoleon, is also claimed to have seen the Jersey Devil while hunting on his Bordentown estate at about 1820. During 1840, the Jersey Devil was blamed for several livestock killings. Similar attacks were reported during 1841, accompanied by tracks and screams. In 1909, there actually seemed to be a wave of sightings. During the week of January 16th through the 23rd of 1909, newspaper published hundreds of claimed encounters with the Jersey Devil from all over South Jersey and the Philadelphia area. Among these alleged encounters were claims the creature attacked a trolley car in Haddon Heights and a social club in Camden. Police in the Camden and Bristol, Pennsylvania, supposedly fired on the creature to no effect. The other reports initially concerned unidentified footprints in the snow, but soon sightings of creatures resembling the Jersey Devil were being reported throughout South Jersey and as far away as Delaware and Western Maryland. The widespread newspaper coverage created fear through the Delaware Valley, prompting a number of schools to close and workers to stay home. Yo, can we get this going? Like, can we get this ball rolling over here? And
I was just gonna say, I'm like, can we like get Fox the Valley? Mall? Yeah, I'm like, can we get the mall closed because there's a demon roaming through the halls or some shit? That'd be lit.
Like, goddamn. there's a little bit more.
Oh God, there's more.
Yeah, vigilante groups and groups of hunters roam the pines and countrysides in search of the devil. During this period, it is rumored that the Philadelphia Zoo posted a $10,000 reward. The offer prompted a variety of hoaxes, including kangaroo equipped with artificial claws and bat wings.
Bruh. I love that.
That's so awesome. I would love that.
What do they expect, though, being like, we'll give you $10,000 if you catch this mythical creature.
Yeah, right? Okay, so this was in 1909. I actually want to see what... God damn! Okay, so actually the equivalent of $10,000 in 1909 was $327,483.52.
Bitch, I'd customize I would a kangaroo for that.
Same.
Customize.
But people are too woke now, I guess.
I mean, at this point, they could, like, Elon Musk could, like, create one, honestly.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm surprised we haven't created dinosaurs and just ended ourselves with them.
Only a matter of time, dude. And you know it'll be America who does it, because we're the stupidest.
I don't know now. Japan. I just saw something, an article today that Japan is about to be releasing either 100 million or 10 million barrels or gallons. I can't remember the specifics, but a shit ton of radioactive water that they have been holding for years from, I think it was the some nuclear power plant they have. It's either, I don't know, but they're going to be dumping it into the ocean.
Their ocean or someone else's?
That I don't know.
That's the question. I mean, all the oceans are going to get to each other, but I mean, like, as a chemical warfare, they could literally, that'd be a lot of water to transport, though.
Supposedly, the Japanese government is saying that it's within their government regulations to be able to do it safely.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's going to turn into fucking Futurama.
Oh, good lord. Honestly, I'm cool with one eye because then my glasses would be cheaper.
I don't know.
It would only be one lens instead of two.
Since you would be abnormal, I think that they would be more expensive because then they'd have to change the entire frame design. Yeah.
Okay, but I could do that. I could do that. I would just have to pay for the one lens instead of the two. And lenses are the expensive part of the glasses.
That's true. Well, I think that was a good place to end the Jersey Devil whale. Miss Joe, I think it is your turn.
Yay. Well, I decided that I wanted to do, it's a really interesting, like, cryptid, I guess. It is kind of technically folklore.
It's a cryptid.
They are cryptid. Because there's not a single entity.
Fair.
It's a bunch of tiny entities.
Oh, God.
But I just read something that says, yeah, they're basically gremlins. They look like little tiny.
Or get them wet.
But I'm doing them on the Duendes. They're across a bunch of Duendes.
Okay.
Duendes.
Yes, okay.
Those little shits. They're a form of the Fae. So, like, they're a subtype of the Fae.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But they're across literally, like, every country folklore. But the thing is, like, some countries will view them as, like, little guardians, and other ones will view them as little, like, evil monsters. So I'm more so focusing on, like, the Latin America, Mexico ones, because my fiance is from Mexico, and my cat is clawing at my door right on time as we talk about gremlins. I shit you not.
I swear, knows. That's the first time I heard anything over there. And yep. As you begin to speak.
Rude. Anyways, but yeah, my fiance has told me stories straight, like, from his grandma who lived in Mexico, about, like, physical encounters she had with them. Yeah. So this is going to get really cool. And terrifying at the same time. But
sorry,
basically,
I had to readjust. So now I'm going to sit back and relax.
You're like, I don't have to do anything anymore.
My work here is done.
Thanks. But yeah, they're like, in Latin America, Mexican folklore, they're like little gnome elf creatures. My fiance said that they look like Dobby from
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Except smaller. They're said they could be, they're like the size of a flower, but then some say they're like 2 feet tall. So, like, there's a range of size apparently on them, but they're tiny little wrinkly gnome things. If that's not terrifying enough, seeing like a billion of those little shits.
Yeah, I would just want to kick them all.
Exactly. But so then basically they're little evil, like aggressive little shitlings. And they're said to live more in like smaller villages because there's less light, there's less people, it's easier to prey on them, basically. And they mostly live in like the walls of children's bedrooms because it's easier to manipulate children.
So are these Santa's elves? Is that how Santa knows that when you're sleeping?
Okay, but
and when you're
that's
awake?
One of the things. It's like kind of commonly known, and like what my fiance said was that they're kind of used to keep kids in line. Like if, because they go after kids who are like have poor hygiene or unkempt, like they're just like the nasty kids, physically and mentally.
Okay.
So they will go into their like rooms at night and they'll like cut their fingernails or toenails and accidentally cut off a whole toe or a whole finger.
The little assholes.
So parents would be like, yeah, if you don't clean yourself or if you don't do this, they're gonna come take you away or they're gonna cut your fingers off. Then along with that, it's said that they will like take the children and like to like the forest or lure them into the forest where they'll be like never seen again, basically. And they'll come into your house and they'll steal all your shit, and again you'll never find it because they'll take it back to the forest. And you know, so as a way to keep them away, you would leave them gifts and food. So yes, they are Santa. You leave them gifts and food, like little cookies and stuff. They won't steal your shit.
We really are just coming full circle with everything today, aren't we? God damn.
Yes, we are.
And we didn't even talk about like what we were doing ahead of time.
No, we didn't. We had no communication about this, which makes it even better. But then when they take the kids to like the forests and caves and stuff or lure them out there, they steal their souls.
Okay.
You're welcome. Yep. Super
stupid
great.
Little fucking duendes.
Yeah, they're great. But one of the like main stories that you'll hear, depending on who you hear it from, but it's like one of the more popular ones between like the Mexican folklore, is that a musician had finished a gig and was heading home. He decided to take a shortcut through the woods when he encountered a group of the duendes, which are like the goblin gnome elf things. He saw them holding an instrument, which people generally say is a guitar, but it'll change from story to story basically. And then the duendes asked him to play the instrument for them and they'll give him gold. So he played it for them, and once he finished, they gave him gold. And then he was on his way home. When he got back home, his wife opened the door and was shocked to see him. She said, "Where have you been all these years? We
What
thought
the
you were
fuck?
dead." His wife had moved on, had kids with a new husband. And he said, "Years? I was only gone for an hour. I played my guitar for the duendes and they gave me gold in return." But when he looked down in his pockets, it was a bunch of rocks.
Those little fucking cheapskates. Oh my god.
Yeah. So they don't just prey on children because they're easy to manipulate. But like in this case, if you do this for me, we'll give you money, which obviously is a musician. If he was struggling or not, he was like, money? Bet. But yeah, so he thought he was gone for like an hour. And then, yeah, it was years. I mean, enough years that she had kids, several. So, I mean, I'm like, damn, that's terrifying. Like, and then another one, personal story that Adon's grandma has told him.
Yes.
So she was heading home with his grandpa one night, and they had driven kind of far. Where they lived was mostly like forest, mountain, valley kind of in Mexico. So there weren't many people until you got into like the bigger towns. So then at night it got really dark out because there were no city lights. And then they were driving down this road for a while to the point where they thought they had gotten lost, which was strange because they used to go down this road every single day. They kept driving, and in the distance, they saw a faint light, and it got brighter as they got closer. They thought it was a person, so they thought they could ask for help, figure out where they were. But then when they got close enough, they saw that the light was a bonfire, and the little duendes were dancing and spinning around. They were giggling, and my grandparents were terrified, he said. They immediately turned around, fled, And then they found their way home after that, but she couldn't sleep that entire night. Can you imagine driving down a road for, you've gone down every, like, imagine going home, you go down this road every single day, and then you have been on it like an hour. It should be like 20 minutes. And then you see a fire, like, oh, people, awesome. And then there's these tiny little shits dancing around the fire. I might be like a white girl, but I don't fuck with that shit.
Oh, turn my happy ass around. Nope, we're not going home tonight, baby. Sorry.
Exactly. And that's what she did. She said, nope, we out, going home. I don't care where we go, it's not here.
Not here. God damn.
But yeah, like, no.
No.
I don't care how many there are. I'm not,
So are they
I don't care
like
if it's one or ten.
Are they clothed?
I think so. For most of what I've seen, they're like little like gnomey elf dudes. What else did he say? Let's see. Cause like all of the like when you like look them up and like see like pictures of them, they're all like, I don't know, like little like gnome dudes, but like wrinklier and evil looking.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can describe that. What?
Nothing, I just thought it was funny.
So that's kind of all I have on the Duendes, of their
Sweet.
folklore, I guess, and a few of the stories about them. They're pretty neat, also terrifying. I would not fuck with them. Leave them snacks, but yeah, that's what I got on those little dudes.
They sound like the Fae. Just
Yeah.
yeah, they sound like the Fae. But yeah. Okay, sweet. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed our new co-host, Josie, and I hope that you're happy that we're back. And we'll be back either bi-weekly or maybe monthly, depending on. But yeah. Well, thanks, guys.